that if we win fewer than four, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me.
On 1340 WKGN.
So hopefully we don't win three. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9, or we're all in trouble then.
Hour three is brought to you by MyBookie. MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code Knoxville. And if you are looking for some action right now, the Browns have been bet up to a 7-point favorite. Over-under hanging around 45. It's officially hit the point where I would take the Jets. Like, I'm not giving you – I don't consider that like a play I'm giving you guys. I feel like I've been doing pretty good for you so far.
Here we go again.
I'm just saying, this is more, Cody. Sorry. This is more about I just don't think the Browns should be favored by 7 on the road. That just seems like a drastic overreaction. Like, wasn't this like a 2 or 3 point spread before Sam Darnold got hurt? There are not very many quarterbacks in the entire NFL, Cody, who are worth 4 points on the spread. Right? I mean, is Sam Darnold one of those?
No.
Like, Sam Darnold's been so good that he's worth 4 points. I mean, I know Trevor Siemian isn't great, but correct me if I'm wrong, Trevor Siemian's probably won more games than Sam Darnold has, right? Just saying, it feels a little bit like an overreaction. Hour three headlines. Cody McClure, collision course. Right, meow!
Thanks, John.
Meow!
What in the
meow
world?
Meow!
Oh. An 18-year-old was killed as a confrontation unfolded in the parking lot of the Rose Bowl after Saturday night's UCLA-Oklahoma game. Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear anything about it.
Lot of people were tweeting about it, about gunshots. They heard gunshots in the Rose Bowl parking lot after the game.
I didn't hear anything about this.
Yep. Turns out one person was dead and another injured after a fight and a shooting at the Rose Bowl. The incident unfolded in parking lot K just before 11:30 p.m. Saturday, after, it says, 3 hours after a football game. That's not accurate. The football game was letting out when this was going on because everybody was tweeting about it. What time was that game over?
It was an 8 p.m. kick, so it was probably over around midnight, 11:30.
Yeah, because it was as people were walking out. Well, then again, though, that's Pacific time, so then...
Yeah, it would have been.
I think this news site got it wrong because this is not an LA news site. This is, I think they're confused by the time zone.
If we can't trust you to report the LA news to us, Cody, who can we trust?
Exactly. As many know, the time there is 3 hours less than it is here. So, as for an example, it's 2:05 p.m. here. There, it's 11:05 a.m. Anyway. And I saw people talking about it after the game is how I know this. There were gunshots after the game. And apparently an 18-year-old Cameron Stone was killed.
That's tough.
Very sad. His grieving father said his son was on the first day of a job working for Cynthia's cleaning company, a cleanup crew, after the game. And there was, I don't know, some confrontation, some argument after the game resulted in a shooting. So... apparently, a 51-year-old man from L.A. is also recovering from a gunshot wound. He is in stable condition. Very sad. Seinfeld is coming to Netflix in 2021.
That's kind of surprising to me. Because I thought that was like whenever the NBC... Isn't that like... Are they taking The Office and Friends off of Netflix for like because of NBC?
Is NBC doing their own streaming thing now?
Yeah.
Eventually, aren't we just going to get to just cable
just
TV
cable
again?
We're close to there.
Let's just go. I mean, let's just go back to cable.
We're close, but I thought they were taking all the NBC stuff off, like The Office is off, Friends is off, but now they're bringing Seinfeld on?
Yep, they're bringing it up. That's actually the first sentence of this story. It says Netflix may be losing Michael Scott and Chandler Bing, but it's gaining Jerry Seinfeld and Cosmo Kramer.
Okay.
Seinfeld, one of the most popular sitcoms in history, is heading to Netflix. In 2021, the company announced today Netflix will be the exclusive global home to the sitcom. The financial terms of the deal were not disclosed. Exclusive? Exclusive global.
NBC's not going to carry it?
It says it will be the exclusive global home to the sitcom.
When it says global, does that mean just they're international? Or like global means includes the U.S.,
it means
right?
means this globe.
Right.
Which is this planet.
Yeah. So, I mean,
the only place on this particular planet you can watch it, I think, is Netflix.
Okay. So if you're on another planet, I don't...
If you were to go to Jupiter,
yeah,
it's my understanding that they have their own platforms there
okay.
in which you could watch it.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, Neptune or Uranus. But here it's just Netflix.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll... Will they still show the reruns on NBC? I don't know.
Yeah, they'll still show them all on, like, TBS.
You would think.
Not on NBC, but, like, on TBS and stuff.
Yeah, they don't show reruns on NBC.
It's kind of surprising to me.
It's a five-year deal.
I would think that would be a big plus for the NBC Universal streaming platform. But maybe Netflix cut them a big check, I guess.
Yeah, it says the terms were not disclosed. They struck the deal with the distributor, Sony Pictures Television. The deal lasts for 5 years. So, see how that plays out.
Okay.
That's
actually a really surprising headline.
Yeah. Fenway is going to start hosting a bowl game in 2020. Just what we need, another bowl game. This one will be at Fenway Park. The century-old baseball park will hold a matchup between teams from the ACC and the AAC starting in 2020.
Okay.
The date for the Fenway Bowl is expected to be announced on Tuesday. It'll be the first college bowl game at the home of the Red Sox. So Fenway becomes a football field in 2020. Between the ACC and the AAC. So we could get a Temple versus Georgia Tech, something like that. Probably not going to be a very appealing ball game. But maybe. Maybe it'll be okay.
Okay.
We'll see. The Browns defensive end, whose girlfriend was killed. You remember the story last week? Chris Smith?
Got killed in a car crash? Or?
Yes, yes. He is planning to play tonight against the Jets. Petara Cordero was her name. It was Wednesday on a highway in Cleveland. She was killed. He's still going to play tonight. He says, I'm going to play tonight because it is something she would want me to do. She would want me to keep doing what I love and stay strong. I play for her tonight. She is my why. So that's a storyline in the game tonight. Watch defensive end Chris Smith, see how he plays, you know. Be cool to see him get a couple big sacks or something. He says he's playing for her tonight.
That's tough. Hopefully he plays well.
Yes, yes, indeed. The Eagles were hit hard last night by an avalanche of injuries to the Falcons. Wide receivers DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey both exited in the first half. Tight end Dallas Goedert.
Dallas Goedert.
You don't pronounce the T?
I don't think so.
Is it French?
I think so. I just think it's Goedert.
Is it Canadian? That would be French.
Okay.
Go dirt. Anyway, they all appeared to go out in the game. He tweaked his calf. DeSean injured his groin. And Alshon Jeffrey injured his calf.
Yeah, it was rough.
Pretty rough go of it for the Eagles last night against the Falcons. Urban Meyer says he misses coaching. Misses football.
Misses the getting ready for that war.
Said he misses the fight that is football. I've been in a fight for 33 years.
33 years. I showed up, and it was all about wins and losses. I missed that.
Yeah.
Something to monitor.
I mean, every day was about it. Not just when you're getting ready for a game. Every day. And I feel that every morning when I wake up. How do you fulfill that fight? You're recruiting every day. You're going against Alabama and Clemson every day. The team up north every day. Now you're not. It's the number one void. I'm not in a fight.
You can say Michigan now, bro. You're no longer at Ohio State. You can say Michigan.
It's ingrained in him. So these coaches are interesting animals.
You can say it now.
That's how they do it.
Got a headline for you. MoviePass officially shut down.
Oh, yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Good. Then they better send me the $100 they owe me.
They're not going to.
They're not going to, yeah. They're not going to, so. Looks like I'm a sucker here, huh? It was follow that under the things that are too good to be true, right? I mean, I don't know if we could put together a power ranking to you know, properly capture things that are too good to be true, but $10 unlimited movies, that's too good to be true, right? Being able just to go to the theater, watch any stupid movie you want, no repercussions.
Yeah.
That's too good to be true.
Just not quite good enough, huh?
What do you mean not quite good enough? You weren't listening to anything I just said.
Yeah. Well, I know it shut down.
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Rick Ocasek died yesterday.
He's no Eddie Money.
The age of 75.
Coming threes.
I do wonder who's next.
Keith?
Oh, stop it.
Mick?
They don't die.
Both of them?
They just sit there and read the paper and say, oh, look who we outlived this time.
Good batch of headlines. We'll come back on the other side. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. As we roll on, play some winners and losers of the weekend coming up next. He didn't make my winners list, but Josh Allen, King of New York.
Yeah, they've won in MetLife Stadium 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, first time an opposing team has won at the same stadium 2 weeks in a row as road teams.
Yeah, good for the Bills.
Same number of wins in MetLife as Eli Manning and Sam Darnold the past two seasons.
New York, man, they really just they don't have anything right now besides the Yankees.
Yeah, and the Yankees are good.
Yankees are very good, but
Yankees are good.
I mean, that's all they got. I guess the Mets are okay, you know, but.
The Mets did just enough to get their fans interested again before, so they could break their hearts and let them down again.
Yeah. The Nets are going to be good.
The Nets should be good. The Knicks.
Not yet, though.
The Knicks seem like they're just kind of stuck in purgatory.
I think they're in hell.
You think they're just actually in hell? Yeah, you might be right on that.
I think they've gone straight to hell.
You might be accurate on that. They are just in hell.
Yeah. And then the Jets and the Giants, no good. No good.
You saw kind of what people's concerns was with drafting Saquon Barkley, right? I mean, the guy's been phenomenal. Like, he is the best running back in the league.
Yeah.
He is averaging 7 yards a carry, and they are 0-2, and he isn't doing anything to help them win games. And, like, it's not a knock to him. It's just like, hey, running backs don't do that. Running backs don't single-handedly win games in the NFL.
Well, and another thing with him, at least in terms of fantasy, which he ended up putting up over 20 points yesterday, so still a good day. But
most of it came in the first quarter, though.
Yeah. That's the thing. They're going to be down in so many games, they're going to be throwing the ball, you know? And it's going to be hard for him to get his in the second half of most of these games.
We're going to see Daniel Jones take over for Eli, though, right? I mean, that's coming soon, right?
That's got to, man. It's got to.
Not even because Eli's necessarily playing bad, but just because, like, why not? Like, what else do you have to look forward to?
I mean, it's overdue 2 years, I think. He had a couple of moments yesterday where they at least cheered for him instead of booing him. But
yeah, like I said, he hasn't even really been bad. It's just, like, they're just a bad football team. And at a certain point, you got to try to keep people coming to the stadium. Type of thing.
Are they supposed to get some receivers back at some point?
I mean, Golden Tate, but that's it.
See, the only one still out?
Yeah.
Sterling Shepard's back. Yeah, I mean.
It's not like the Calvary's coming, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. They don't really have a lot to look forward to.
It's just crazy because Saquon has been awesome. Saquon has been, like, as good, if not better than advertised, right? Whenever everyone said, oh, yeah, he's the best prospect in this draft class. Like, he has it. He does. He does have it, but it just doesn't lead to wins. 18 carries, 107 yards, and a touchdown, and, you know, they were never really in that game. I guess they tied it at 7. Or they may have even got up to a 7-0 lead, but the Bills dominated the second quarter, and the Giants didn't score again until garbage time.
When he finds a gap, though, I mean, he is probably my favorite running back to watch right now in terms of just how good he is.
Right.
But, it doesn't happen that often.
I just hate that we're wasting him, though.
I do, too.
And we are wasting him.
And there's nothing he can do about it, really, is there?
No.
I mean, he's just kind of stuck with the Giants.
I mean, they're not going to trade him because they're not going to get equal value. You know what I mean? Like, if they trade him, they have no stars left on the team, and no one's going to give up a first-round pick for Saquon Barkley type of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in.
Although, like, I mean, I feel like for a good team, he might be worth a first-round pick.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that could take a good team to the next level.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I'm not in favor of spending first-round draft picks on running backs usually. But now that we know that how good he is and it actually translates, like if you had a good team and you traded for him, it might be worth it.
Yeah, some of these teams that are just good but they rely mostly on the quarterback, like, you know, he's kind of a game breaker. You put him in where could you put him right now? At Green Bay?
I mean, Jones is like fine, that. But yeah, like, I mean, he would take them to another level. Imagine him with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. Like, that would be an unstoppable offense.
Oh, my God, yeah, yeah.
The Texans. I mean, Carlos Hyde's been running good for now, but, like, you need running backs.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
Put him in Kansas City.
Put him in Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah.
Just take
Damian Williams is nothing special.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are fine, but, yeah, it would just, you know, take the offense to another level.
God, him at Kansas City. Imagine that.
They don't need him. They just take no-name guys that are fast, and they make it happen. They make it happen.
Kind of like New England. I mean, they got Michelle. He's, you know, and James White are pretty good, but.
They don't need. Yeah, they just make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a special player. I hope maybe someday we'll get to see him succeed, you know, but.
For the first quarter and a half of that Packers-Vikings game, I felt like a genius. I had the Packers. I was pretty much the only person that had the Packers in any power rankings I read. I have them, you know, as my number five team. And I came out, I was like, first quarter, I was like, wow, 21-0. I might have undershot this. Maybe they are the best team in the NFC. Now, the rest of the game, they kind of just got stuck in the mud on offense, and the defense slowly gave way to the Vikings offense. But, man, how bad was Kirk Cousins yesterday?
Well, he was bad, but he still threw for more yards than Aaron Rodgers.
It's not about yards, though. When you throw that interception he threw in the end zone.
Well, that's how you said that game was going to end. You remember?
Yeah.
It'll come down to Kirk Cousins needing to win it, and he's going to turn it over.
And he's going to throw a really terrible interception. A really, really terrible interception. 14 of 32, 230 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions.
Oh, yeah, he was awful.
And it sucks because, like, if I'm a Vikings fan, I'm like, the defense, pretty good. Dalvin Cook looks like a top-five running back.
He's a good one.
Like, Dalvin Cook has emerged, right? Like, if you are starting to look at your top five running backs, it feels like Dalvin Cook is going to make that list this year.
I like him a lot.
He's explosive, and he's healthy. Obviously, you know that Thielen and Diggs are somewhere hovering around the top 10 wide receivers. You have the skill players. You have the defense. But your quarterback just won't get out of the way. And, I hate to say I told you so. I'm not one to pat myself on the back. But, I mean, I've been talking about Kirk Cousins being a loser for many years now. And it looks like the guy's just a loser. An historic type of loser, too. Like, one that loses games that other quarterbacks are supposed to win. 31 games against teams with a winning record in his career. 31 opportunities to beat a team with a winning record. He's done it five times. He is 5-26 against teams with a winning record.
Really?
5-26.
And that's in what situation?
Against teams with a winning record.
That's it. Kirk Cousins,
5-26 in his 31 games.
Oh, my God. Where's Case Keenum when you need him?
Balling out in Washington.
That's horrible.
And like I said, he is just a historic loser. Like, no one loses games the way he does. This is a long stat, so stick with me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vikings put up 7 yards per play and allowed 4.9 yards per play. So, you know, per play average, they were 2.1 yards better than their opponent. Mm-hmm. There have only been 13 games in the last decade in which the NFL, when the losing team was less than 7 yards per play and the winning team was over seven, less than five. There's been 13 of those games. Sorry, I messed this stat up. It was already confusing. 13 times in the last 10 years, Kirk Cousins has been the quarterback on the losing side three times since 2013. It's just historic losing that he does when his team is otherwise really outperforming the opponent.
Yeah, because who would you rather have as a trio, Diggs, Thielen, and Dalvin Cook?
Nobody.
I don't think there's anybody.
Maybe you take Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, and Sonny Michel, maybe. Or James White, maybe. If you drop them anywhere besides New England, probably not going to. If you took Diggs, Thielen, and Cook and put them on New England, I'm sure Brady would do more with them.
You might take Kelsey, Tyreek Hill, but then you got
Williams.
Pick your running back, yeah. I guess.
When Kareem Hunt was there, you would probably say that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
They have maybe the best trio of skill players.
It's lethal.
In the NFL. And they keep finding ways to lose. Packers have to be feeling really good about their chances in that division, right?
Yeah, because the Bears there's zero offense there.
You've already beaten them once on the road.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2-0 in your division. You're two games up. You've beaten the Vikings and the Bears. The Lions look okay, I guess. A little pesky.
Got a W yesterday.
Yeah. That was a gutty win, too.
Yeah.
Gutsy win.
Chargers not looking great.
Chargers looked like the Chargers of old. Find ways to lose games, Chargers. Last year, they kind of shook that reputation and finally started winning games and avoiding the dumb losses. But week two, they were right back to, let's find the most inexplicable way to lose this game. I love the early season in the NFL. We're still trying to figure these teams out.
Yeah, me too, because you just, first few weeks, you get to try to figure out, are they good? Are they overrated? Are they actually,
I love this part.
Me too.
Let's play some winners and losers of the weekend next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Let's see, do I need to shout anybody else out? I think I've hit all the live reads. Just hit them all. Truly. Always Electric, my bookie. All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend. Jules, hit the music.
Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers. Winners and losers.
All right, Cody, hit me with your winners of the weekend. Who won this weekend?
All right, John. Winner number three, I'm going to go with the Citadel, pulling an overtime upset at Power 5 ACC Georgia Tech. Not a good day for Georgia Tech, but a good day for the Citadel. So a shout-out to the Citadel. Citadel, 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 Citadel. Good win for them. My number two winner, I got to go with the Patriots defense. I thought they were just incredibly impressive against the Dolphins.
Okay.
On Sunday. I know the Dolphins suck. To pitch a shutout, you gave up 3 points last week. You gave up three in the Super Bowl. Altogether, that Pats defense, it's nasty. It's very good. And I got to, I think they're good. Two defensive touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and they picked them off, four times? Big day for them. And my number one winner, the L.A. Rams. The L.A. Rams, who have not only won over my fandom, but a nice, decisive win on Sunday against the Saints. Rams looked like a pretty complete team to me in the second half. I like Jared Goff. I like their receivers. Cup, Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks had a nice touchdown catch. I like their defense. Gurley's playing really well to start the year. Fan of the Rams right now.
All right, my winners of the weekend. Number three, Julio Jones became the all-time leading receiver with the Atlanta Falcons. Had the big fourth down reception that led to a touchdown that won the game for the Falcons. Did you know, Cody? He has a receiving TD in six straight games. Longest active streak in the NFL.
Julio does?
Everyone made fun of him. He was a punchline for so long about how he doesn't score touchdowns. Joke's on you, buddy. Six straight games.
Yeah, guess it's time to flip the narrative.
Six straight games for Julio Jones. Gotta be honest, though. I was a little bit disappointed in his breakaway speed. When he took that screen pass and, like, you know, started running towards the end zone at the end of the game last night, he made it.
He outran everybody.
He outran him, but I was expecting, like, him to fly.
He's older than he used to be.
He's older than he used to be, and he's had some foot issues. I understand. I'm just saying. I wanted to see, like, oh, wow, Julio's really still got it.
How about Jake Matthews out there on the edge? Collinsworth was obsessed with that block he made. It was impressive.
I was a little worried that was a block in the back.
It did kind of look like a block in the back.
As someone who was rooting for the Falcons, I was a little worried they were going to call that a block in the back.
He kind of got him in the side. A little right hand was probably on the back of the shoulder pads, but, you know.
I was worried they were going to, like, review it and be like, actually, the pass was 1 yard in front of the line of scrimmage, so that's technically offensive pass interference. I was a little worried about both of those.
Yeah, worked out okay.
But Julio, he is the number three winner of the weekend. Number two, hey, shout out to Les Miles. How about that? How's that for a bounce back on Friday night as Kansas goes into Boston College and beats Boston College? Beats them down. Beats them down. Kansas.
What the hell?
You missed that on Friday?
Yeah, I thought they were losing.
They were, but they won, and then they just kept piling it on. Kansas.
What happened?
Kansas, man. Les Miles.
What happened to Boston College?
I don't know, but Kansas just started pouring it on them. Just took over that game.
Yeah, they would have been on my winners. I completely missed that.
Les Miles, he lost to Coastal Carolina the week before. Turns around, beats Boston College on the road.
Okay.
I want to say it's like their first Power 5 win in like 8 years, like on the road.
It's got to be.
Number one, the biggest winners of the weekend for me, black quarterbacks. Great weekend. Top of the NFL.
Yeah.
College football doing good there too.
Cam and Jameis, not really, but.
I know,
over the weekend, yeah, over the weekend.
I just look. I mean, they've faced a stigma for so long. They've had to deal with a lot of unfair stuff. They're dominating the league right now.
Lamar, Kyler Murray had another good game.
Yeah.
Is Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Dak, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Justin Fields balled out.
Is Dak black?
Believe so. Hit me with your losers of the weekend while I go tell my nephew to shut the hell up.
All right, number three loser for me, I got to go with Kentucky. I mean, how do you blow it like that? You got Florida beat again. You finally ended the streak last year. You dominate them the whole game. Your offensive line controls a lot of scrimmage, and you should have beat them. Kentucky's got the same thing going against them that we've had going against them. They could not make it two in a row, even at home, where they've been pretty good at Kroger Field. 13-4 since they renamed it before the Florida loss, and yet they take the L in disappointing fashion. Number two loser for me, Maryland, put up 79 points and then put up 63 points and then went and lost to Temple. The whole world was talking about you, Maryland. Everybody wanted you to be good. Everybody thought we had a new up-and-comer, thought Maryland was going to be something this year. They will not. They lost to Temple. And my number one loser over the weekend, I'm going to go with the Steelers. They really, really needed that game on Sunday against the Seahawks. They didn't get it, and now we learn Big Ben is out for the season. You combine those two things, you thought last year was the season from hell for the Steelers. It's going to be another one.
I don't want to pat myself on the back again. I don't like doing that, but looks like 2 years in a row I've got the team that's going to have the season from hell. Last year I said it was going to be the Steelers, and sure, they still clawed their way to 9 wins, but it was a disastrous year, and they missed the playoffs, and then, of course, they run off Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. This year I said it was going to be the Saints, and it's early, but they're 1-1, and their quarterback's on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks, so looks like the Saints might be having that season from hell, too, but yeah, the Steelers trapped in it right now, maybe for the second straight year.
The Ravens probably going to win that division.
Yeah.
I know it's week two, but
that shouldn't be surprising though. They won it last year.
No,
one really talked about it in this offseason. It was usually like Browns or Steelers, and you're like, what about the Ravens? Don't really trust Lamar Jackson.
Didn't really give them enough credit. Again, it's week two, but we'll see.
And they haven't really played the toughest schedule: Dolphins and a home game against the Cardinals. But
probably the two worst teams in the NFL.
No, the Cardinals would go into New York and wax the Giants.
You think so?
Yeah. They beat the Redskins too. Yeah, they're not. The Cardinals aren't one of the worst teams.
They beat the Redskins?
I said they would. They tie with the Lions in Week One.
Yeah, they're down there though.
They're like six or like they're like five or six. I'm just saying that I wouldn't call them number two. Either way, my losers already gave you one of them. Number three, Kirk Cousins. Like I said, 5-26 against teams with a winning record. He's going to be the reason the Vikings missed the playoffs. Number two for me, same as you, Kentucky. Nothing new to add there. You had a chance to have your first home win against Florida in a long time, and you choked away an 11-point fourth-quarter lead. Did they get outscored in the fourth quarter 19-0? 19-0?
Well, it was 21-10.
And they lost.
What was the final?
They lost by eight, right? Florida scored a touchdown to win by eight.
Well, yeah.
19-0 in the fourth
29,
quarter.
29-21.
Yeah, that's not good.
Florida ended up covering.
Depending on when you got the points out. Right before kickoff, it was at 10, so they didn't cover that.
Well.
Was the original line was 7.5, I think. So if you took Kentucky early at 7.5, you messed up. That was a bad beat. Sorry.
That's tough.
They're my second biggest losers of the weekend. Number one for me, Cody, I am going with NFL officiating. Just another bad week for them. Really could just say officiating in general because it wasn't very good in college either. They had to apologize to Michigan State. We've talked about what happened with the Saints, right? The Saints got screwed again.
Yeah, and so many reviews. So many flags in a lot of these games. The officials are too much a part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Way too much, too big a part of the game. It should be about the players and the coaching.
Feels weird that neither one has had the Saints on there. Feels like the Saints have to be a loser of the weekend, right?
I mean, they, yeah.
Not only did you lose, you got screwed, but you also, you know, your quarterback is done.
It's always easier to pick out the losers than it is the winners.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else we should add?
Oh, there's a lot of people you could add. Denver.
Yeah, Denver's 0-2, and they're staring, I think, a pretty tough schedule coming up in the face. So, looks like they're done. It's about
– The Chargers.
It's about to the point where you can start riding some teams off. Now, it's just week two, so you can't all the way overreact. But I want to say only 12% of the teams that go 0-2 the first 2 weeks of the season make the playoffs, only 12%. So, you're really fighting an uphill battle.
I told you that stat on Friday.
Okay, I was going to say someone told me that. That was you?
That was me.
You were all over it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, over.
I actually researched and created that stat all myself.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You just ran some numbers.
I saw it on Thursday Night Football.
Went to the database.
Yeah.
0-2 does feel like a hole to try to claw out of, right? It feels drastically different than being 1-1. That's why when the Titans lost, I was mad, but it wasn't the end of the world.
Still 1-1.
You just feel really bad when you're 0-2. You gotta really pull yourself up.
I actually kind of felt bad for the Titans fans yesterday because that's a – you should have had that, you know. It's just
I'm used to it. I do get mad about it. Like I've said before, the Colts are almost on the same level as, like, Florida for me, almost. Like, I hate the Colts fan base, especially, like, the East Tennessee Colts fans.
Like Brandon.
Yeah, they just randomly decided to root for the Colts or, hey, Peyton's there, I'll go root for them.
I mean, I kind of understand it.
Nah, it's bandwagon.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good when Peyton was there, you know what I mean? Like, it's you're rooting for a winner. And then you stayed, even though they cut Peyton. So, like, what's up with that? You know what I mean?
I had Andrew Luck.
I know.
Might as well hang on.
I know. That kind of helps morph it into bandwagon, too. Like, hey, we got a generational quarterback. We'll stay on there.
I got to think, though, if you jumped on the bandwagon that long ago and you're still there.
Colts were good the entire time, though.
They had some bad times with
Peyton,
Luck.
Well, yeah. But,
I mean, if you're still a fan.
About the transition from Peyton to Luck. Well, yeah, then it's hard to jump off, I guess, once you're committed to the new quarterback.
Could you not jump on a bandwagon with Peyton and then kind of fall in love with the other players? Like, become a fan
of but they're all gone,
players?
Bro. Like, Marvin Harrison ain't walking through those doors.
Yeah, I know.
Reggie Wayne ain't suiting up and catching passes with Brandon Stokely next to him. You know what I mean?
Dallas Clark.
Dallas Clark's gone. Bob Sanders, remember that safety that was always hurt but was really good when he played?
Dwight Freeney.
Yeah, those guys are gone, you know what I mean? Robert Mathis is gone too, all of them.
It was a fun team to watch, though.
It's a fun team to root against. Always got to feel good in January whenever they would inevitably lose. in the playoffs as a favorite.
With Peyton?
Yeah. I rooted against
him. You never
him.
Rooted for Peyton?
I root against him hard.
Really? Always?
Got to be honest. Is this a safe space?
Oh, yeah.
I rooted for the Bears in that Super Bowl.
Wow.
And then Devin Hester turned that opening kickoff. I remember. Oh, baby, here we go. No, they lost.
So did you enjoy seeing Peyton lose 43-8 when he was with Denver?
No,
or did
no.
You
I
root
for Peyton
him
in Denver.
Then?
I support him in Denver.
Okay. So it's just a Titans thing.
It's a Titans-Colts thing. It's a rivalry. It's a divisional opponent. I was happy to see Peyton make two Super Bowls in Denver.
So you like the Titans more than you do Peyton Manning?
Yes, that is 100% accurate.
Fair enough. I mean,
100% accurate.
Okay.
No doubt about it. Not even close, really.
Yeah. No problem for me. I mean, I don't know how, other people feel about it, but
I don't care how they
feel. Yeah, who cares, right?
I don't care what they think.
Yeah. Wouldn't matter.
Yeah, I have my convictions.
Just you. We all got what we prefer.
By the way, Peyton's retired, so I mean, like, no putting the cat back in the bag, you know what I mean?
Got a big forehead on him, too, doesn't he?
I don't feel like the cat in the bag thing worked there, but let's just go to break, Jules. Last call on the other side. Last call on the program is brought to you by our friends at Volunteer Vodka. Award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. Stop by and pick you up a bottle. Cody, time to pump the brakes and keep rolling. You want to go first or second?
First.
Okay.
Video.
I'll stop. I trust you.
Okay.
Yep.
A disturbing video has emerged of a Tesla driver sound asleep zooming down the turnpike. Video taken from a passing car appears to show the driver and passenger both sound asleep as their car cruised along a Massachusetts turnpike at 55 miles per hour. A driver took a video on Sunday pulling up alongside the Tesla and honked the horn several times in an effort to awaken the driver, whose chin remained slumped to his chest. As you know, Tesla has sophisticated self-driving features called autopilot, but the automaker still warns drivers to keep their hands on the steering wheel and stay alert. The driver said it was strange and baffling. I saw somebody asleep at the wheel. I did a double take, sure enough, but it was a Tesla. I just don't think I could do it.
Drive a Tesla?
No matter how much technology comes out and how much they prove, like, yeah, this works, it's autopilot, you can do it. I don't think I could do it. I think I'd be scared to death. To actually just lean back and fall asleep, you know?
It'd be tough.
Apparently this guy was doing it. One of these self-driving cars.
Miami of Ohio head coach has a perfect analogy to describe the Ohio State game. Now give it to me. This would be tough to do, right, if you're the Miami of Ohio coach, like, have to get your guys ready to play Ohio State and have to answer questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was asked, and he tried his best to explain it and said, quote, "It's kind of like going to recess, and they have the first 85 picks."
Pretty much.
Yeah. Basically, it's like everyone on their team on scholarship is better than our best player.
Than anyone on our team.
Our best player is not as good as their 86th best, or as good as their 85th best player.
That's a pretty good way to put it.
You can't feel great if you're in that locker room, but you could say, hey, they didn't pick you, but I did. And you picked me. Let's go shock the world. You got a story? Or
California man warns of something at the county fair to avoid going.
Okay.
That's the coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life. That's insane. Can I hear it again?
A mass shooting.
Oh.
California man was arrested Friday after he falsely reported a mass shooting was set to happen at the L.A. County Fair simply because he did not want to attend the fair with his parents. Eric Villasenor, 22, apparently sent an email to fair staff around 2:45 p.m. Friday, which police said contained a warning. "Hello, I was told that someone was planning on doing a mass shooting Sunday at the fairgrounds. I just wanted to inform you guys already." That was all the email said, according to police. Of course, today's world, a message like that's very concerning. He just didn't want to go with his family. They were set to go on Sunday, and he did not want to go. So he emailed the fair staff and said, hey, there's going to be a shooting.
Okay, well.
You got to, like, realize you can't do that, right?
Is he going to go to prison?
I don't think you'd go to prison for that, would you?
I don't know. Kind of. I mean, I'd imagine, like, if screaming fire in a theater is a felony, then...
Is it really?
Is it not?
I mean, I remember the thing about the bomb on the airplane, but...
Yeah.
Is fire in a theater? Is that really?
Yeah, I mean, because it creates panic.
That there's going to be...
That
like
there's a fire in their theater, and people get up and try to run out, and people... people in danger.
I assume that just meant like it was like a warning that John Wilkes Booth had walked in or something. You're telling him to fire?
Not your best effort.
It's not really a joke. I was just... Would you rather me have referenced the Aurora shooter? Fire! You know what I mean? Fire a gun?
Maybe it's not a felony, but it is illegal. I'm trying to... get to the bottom of
plus that. Why would you yell it when you could see it?
Well, not everyone can see a fire when it starts, bro.
Well, I mean, the theater's dark.
Yeah,
wouldn't you see the flames?
Or if it's in the outside the...
It wouldn't be affecting you yet.
I mean, fire spreads, though.
Yeah, but you'd have plenty of time to leave.
Would you?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen fire spread?
There's like four exits in the place.
Oh, they're used to
there's two emergency and two up top.
They're not used to be as many exits in the old theaters as they are now.
That's a silly thing to be illegal.
It's the idea behind it is you can't...
Fire! Oh, yes, I can see. There's a blaze burning. I mean...
But the point is there's no fire. Yelling fire if there is a fire, that's legal.
What if you're watching a fire movie?
This is fire!
Yeah, are you watching a movie like about firemen or something?
Okay, I don't
fire want to... like just point at the screen. Is that illegal?
You'd have to get a good lawyer, but they'd probably get you off. A public defendant's probably not, but a good lawyer would. Got a update from Florida's press conference. Here's how many questions were asked about Tennessee. Big game, right? Tennessee versus Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to guess how many questions Dan Mullen got about Tennessee in his press conference today?
One.
That is correct. One.
Just one.
The last question.
So they just basically recapped the Kentucky game?
I don't know what was going on. Maybe Franks' injury. I don't know exactly what was going on, but one.
So then the last guy's like, oh, by the way, you're playing Tennessee, right?
Yeah, do you guys care?
Do you care? Are you even watching their film?
Apparently Dan Mullen had to make a plea to the fans to not just buy tickets, but actually show up.
For the Tennessee game, huh?
Actually show up to the game, please.
I hope nobody does. I mean...
That noon kickoff, baby. It's ripe for an upset.
Why do we need crowd noise?
They're ripe for the picking.
Hey, you know, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt at noon games on the road in the SEC. We've seen what he can do.
Is he 1-0 on the road in noon games?
I think so. Against SEC opponents, for sure. Pretty sure.
I mean, we didn't play
Vandy and Missouri were night games.
South Carolina's a night game. Alabama's a night game. Or an afternoon game, maybe.
Mm-hmm. 3:30.
South Carolina, we were a night game. When was the Georgia game? Was that 3:30? That was 3:30, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or was it noon?
I don't remember. I hope it was at 3:30 just for our...
I think it was 3:30.
For the sake of our stat.
Pretty sure he's undefeated all time.
At noon as a head coach. He has never lost a noon game. Georgia State wasn't at noon. Chattanooga was, though. We won that one.
This guy doesn't lose noon games.
Wow. That's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he never has lost one.
Hmm.
I mean, we're all about trends, right?
Against the spread, 2-0 as well. They cover the 30-point spread.
Yeah.
They were favored by 30 against UTC. They dominated. Something to keep an eye on. Just a little trend to watch, boys and girls. A little trend to watch. You got any other stories, or are you trying to just run the clock out?
Something ironic happens to Lawmaker who's griping about pigeon poop.
You blew it. Let me guess. You got pooped on.
He did. By a pigeon.
Respect the game. Yeah. Respect the game. All right, so you coming to Raw tonight? You're back to you don't really know, huh?
I mean,
you're not coming. I just forget.
50-50.
You know what? Your invitation has been withdrawn. You're no longer invited.
Ah, shucks.
How's that sound?
Darn.
You're no longer invited.
Darn. I really wanted to go.
Well, all right, whatever. Joke's on you, buddy. Jules, good job by you. The drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.
Eli Corum and his team have